And welcome, everyone. How was that for an intro? Hey, this is Scott Mitchell with another edition of a program we call Let the Bible Speak. And I'm here with Dylan Culver, and he did a talk last Wednesday night I wanted to expound on a little bit today for you all. I think it's really important that we are able to do that. Let me see if I can find my program on here. I want to welcome everyone. Normally we do a radio program on Saturday mornings, and it's just becoming more difficult to do that. And so Dylan, with his work schedule, said he could come at another time, so that's what we decided to do today. We both attend at the Galena Church of Christ. I'll let him kind of get an intro about himself here in a sec, and we'll go from there. I will be preaching at Salem at Westside in the morning, so I'll be at Mount Tabor tomorrow night. So that's very exciting. Jeff Farmer, if y'all know Jeff Farmer, his dad broke his arm, banged himself up today, and so Jeff's in Cambridge City with his parents, and so he asked me to fill in at Salem for him tomorrow. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to try to speak up a little bit, some of the volume. I don't know how good the mic is, so if you could speak up.
So you need a new mic, is what you're saying.
Well, I need
a mic.
I need a lot of things.
That's okay.
But that's okay. Why don't you tell us about yourself, kind of where you're from and what's been going on, and we'll get into what we want to talk about.
This is going to be, does anybody from Galena watch you? Because I can't say I have.
Yeah, some people do.
Okay, well, it's obviously going to be a lot less emotional because it's a lot different being in front of a crowd than it is just talking to a camera on a stand in front of you. But one of the things that I guess happened to me, but I was born in a family where my parents weren't married. My mom was 19 when she had my brother,
yep.
And she was 21 when she had me.
Okay.
And at a certain point, she looked around and saw that how she was living and where she was living and the person she was with was not right for a couple boys to be growing up in. And I guess just to add a little more detail, I was born in Washington State. And when I was 2 months old, my mom, my brother, and I moved down to Jacksonville, Florida. That's a big distance. She drove, and then my great aunt actually flew me down from California. So I actually didn't ride in the car. but I lived in Jacksonville, Florida till I was 24, mm-hmm. and then moved up here to Indiana, where my wife and her family lived when I was 24, 25.
Fortunate enough to meet me.
Oh, yeah.
So,
of course.
Here we are.
Well, that was a couple years before I moved up here, too,
because
I met you guys camping.
Yeah, that's true. So,
let's see. So, one of the things I struggled with personally growing up was that I didn't have a dad. I lived with my grandparents. I had my mom. I remember growing up and specifically asking my mom, you know, where's my dad? Like, who's my dad?
Yeah.
And at the time, it wasn't the answer I was looking for, but the answer she gave me was the right answer. She told me God in heaven is your father. And at first I was like, I accepted that answer, but at the same time I knew it wasn't the answer I was looking for. Mm-hmm. But again, when I was asking those questions, I was probably 5, 6, 7 years old. And so the answer of, well, you know, this is where human babies come from was not obviously the right answer to give at the time. And again, I don't know the age range of the audience either. So.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Whatever.
Let me stop you. What I want to talk about is kind of like filling these holes or filling these gaps in our lives. And I'm going to ask if whoever may join us and maybe know what, I don't know if this is an odd time for the show, so
yeah.
Maybe not. But if you've got a comment you want to make or a suggestion, please, I'll see it on the screen and we can bring it up and discuss that, and that'll be fine. Normally we do a Bible lesson of sorts. And this is going to be a Bible lesson, but it's going to be tied into your story a little bit, because I'm planning on asking you some questions, and we'll go where we can to see. I've got Bible verses here, and you've got your lesson from Wednesday night as well. So let me. You mentioned that you asked questions about your dad. Here's what I see a lot of times as a teacher: are kids that are missing parents, and it creates for them a huge hindrance because they can't figure out why they aren't important enough, or, you know, they just want their parents. I don't care what their parents have done. I don't care where they are. They want their parents back. They don't care how they were treated by their parents. They just want to be with mom and dad.
Right.
And it creates huge amounts of baggage that they're not really able to put down sometimes. Whereas you're able to carry it in such a way that it doesn't hinder you. And that's what I want to get into. Why is it you're able to carry yourself like you do? And what did you go to? And how did you figure out that, yeah, your situation with your dad wasn't what you would like for it to be, but you've managed through the contacts you do have to be the person that you are.
Right.
And that's kind of where we want to go. So, I guess first of all, you mentioned your mom said that God was your father.
Yeah.
Okay. When or how were you able to put down those, or put away those questions? When were you able to realize, you know what, I'm going to be okay with this situation? What was it that were able, you know, maybe when or how were you able to do that? Because you mentioned like your grandpa, mm-hmm. maybe your uncle, filling some of those gaps. But certainly God is the only one who can fill those holes in our hearts anyway. But how was that able to work for you where so many people fail in this?
Right. To be honest, I'm not even sure that I've 100% gotten over it completely. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that I ever will 100% get over it completely. But I mean, it takes a long time to get from questioning where they're at to being okay with it, right? Well, mm-hmm. whoever this stranger is now, like, if they wanted to be a part of my life, they've missed out, and sorry, like, it's too late now. Like, yeah. I've started something, and you're not a part of it at this mm-hmm. point. And I mean, that path is just long and hard, to mm-hmm. be honest. I see kids that are similar, you know, they have one parent, or one parent is absent, you know, what it may be, and I feel for them, but I can see they're hurting, and they don't understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying, you know, they want both parents, no matter, you know, what they did, where having both parents isn't always going to be the best choice for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had something that a lot of the kids I deal with don't, and that is you had an introduction to God.
Yeah.
To help you, whereas a lot of my students, while I, you know, I carry around my coffee cup that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," mm-hmm. and I wear my shirts and talk about, Bible has Bible verses on them. I keep my Bible on my desk and do all sort of things. I can't really give them a full-blown introduction to God.
Right.
You know, if they'll come to FCA meetings, things like that, I can't. But you had that.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't. So we cannot dismiss the fact that you allowed God to fill gaps in your heart, in your life. A lot of people don't allow that.
Right.
They get mad at God. Okay. They blame God. So was there a point in your life where you were like, okay, well, if there is a God, why is this going on? Or did you ever blame God? Or did you just accept the situation you had and deal with it as best you could?
I mean, yeah, I pretty much accepted it. I mean, I never blamed God for what I was missing. I was kind of like, I believe it's Jeremiah when he asked God, like, why?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just like when Paul asks to remove a thorn, like God says, your grace is sufficient for me. And I think that was always my answer.
I didn't put it on my list, but really? I looked at that verse a while ago about the thorn
mm-hmm.
for Paul. And that I wish I'd put it on my list.
I think it's in...
I can find it. We'll find it. Yeah.
Actually, my uncle, that was like very strong.
Somebody named Shannon Schaefer joined.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Because I better stop sharing stuff.
You better close up now. Anyway.
That Emily girl, she's a nice girl.
Yeah, she is. She's great, isn't she?
That's my wife.
That would be your wife, and Shannon Schaefer would be your father-in-law, yeah. So you got to say things nicely now. So,
yeah, anyway. Exactly.
So you didn't blame God, you didn't get mad at God. You just accepted it.
For I mean, whatever. I was for sure upset, but
yeah,
accepted it.
But not mad at God.
No.
Didn't blame God.
No.
Okay. That's interesting. A lot of people do.
Yeah, a lot of people do. I'm not... Like, one of the things that I've... It's taken me a long time to get to where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, when I was, you know, growing up, a teenager, even now, like, me and my brother obviously grew up in the same situation,
mm-hmm.
and we're vastly different people, but, like, him and I don't have a kind of relationship where I had someone to confide in with all this stuff. Like, I wasn't open to talking about how I felt about this whole thing until probably after I met Emily in college.
Okay.
So I was probably 20, 21 before I was comfortable enough with actually sitting down with someone and talking about how, you know, not growing up with a dad made me feel and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And especially when you have someone who's in the exact same situation, like, there were probably times I should have talked to my brother. There were times where we shared a room, I was, you know, crying myself to sleep at night, and probably keeping him awake, and he just sat there and did nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's not to discredit him at all.
Yeah.
Because he was in the same boat I was in. He didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to deal with it. And granted, we should have been helping each other.
Yeah.
That just never happened. Yeah, I mean, and it's to the point where...
Well, you were kids. You didn't know how to do that.
It's to the point where even now, like, he's my brother. I'll call him on the phone. I'll play games with him. I'll talk to him for hours. But, like, if Emily's like, what'd you guys talk about? The answer is, well, nothing. Talk about nothing. Like...
Is that still kind of the way it is today?
Yeah, it's still kind of how it is today. Like, I didn't even know he had a girlfriend until my mom told me. And I was like, what? I was, like, I talked to him for 2 hours yesterday. He didn't mention anything about that to me.
Okay.
It's just not that way with us. But, I mean, at the same time, I have a good relationship with him. Mm-hmm. He's still my brother. It's just not, there's not that sort of connection between the two of us. Like, we're running parallel instead of.
Interesting, yeah. Well, you know, I heard a really good sermon in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee.
Right.
And what he talked about, it was Dan Edwards talked about connections. Mm-hmm. So less was, because what he does, he deals with adults, adult counseling type situations where he's got to deal with people who don't have the tools they need. And he talks about connections, and people are missing connections. And that's what the kids are missing,
mm-hmm.
is a connection. And that's why, you know, when you, there's one verse I want to go to on this. I heard a lesson on this last year at any Bible camp, and it's so eye-opening of what people are really missing. And what we have are, we have Christians out here saying, hey, come join us, join us, and we'll give you, and then we have gangs and people like that saying, hey, come join us. And then what Proverbs chapter 1 talks about, beginning, I want to read this 10 through 16, and then we'll talk about maybe see how it applies. But it says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie and wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us, and we will have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. They're saying, look, if you come with us, we're going to be family. We're going to have the same purse. We'll be one. We've got Christians saying that, and we've got other groups saying that, trying to entice people into them. So is there that trying to find a group you can have the same purse with? Was that easy? I mean, you talk about your uncle or your grandpa and you and your mom, because how you started Wednesday night.
Yeah.
It was interesting because you didn't give any introduction. You just said she was 19.
Yeah.
And you started talking about your situation. How did you all find that purse, that unified, or that unity in that one purse with a group of people? How did you all do that?
Well, we all started going to the same congregation.
Okay.
In Florida. My uncle's actually from Arizona. He was, you know, one of the strong Bible men that helped me walk.
Yeah.
He was from Arizona, and it was a couple of years probably after my mom had moved that they had left Arizona after my cousin was born, if I'm remembering that right. I could be totally off, but I know it was a couple of years after I was born that they showed up. My earliest memory is that they had my cousin, but that's, you know, a minor detail. But, I mean, for the first 7-8 years, you know, he was essentially my dad for the most part. I lived with my grandpa. He was, you know, pretty much also my dad. But my uncle was the one who, I mean, not to say my grandpa didn't, but my uncle would take me and my cousins and my brother. He would take us all out to lunch. He would take us, you know, to the arcade. He would, you know, take us and be, you know, he was the cool uncle, but really he, you know, was doing his best to be there for me like he knew I needed.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you started finding that one purse.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I specifically remember when my uncle actually started to back off, because, like, that really hurt. And the reason he backed off was because my mom had gotten married, and so now I had a stepdad.
Okay.
And he didn't want to, you know, overstep. And so he didn't want, you know, my stepdad to get upset with him for, you know, trying to, you know, do his job now. His job. But I mean, to be honest, I didn't appreciate what my stepdad did for me.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, now that I, you know, don't live under his roof and stuff, I mean, I really do. I really appreciate what he did. He wasn't the same spiritual pillar like my uncle and my grandfather have been and probably will always be. But he was still that father figure who was, you know, there to wake me up in the morning when I had to go to school, there to, you know, discipline me when I needed it. That all those sort of things that I was missing, like, he was there for that, and I really appreciate that. Granted, if you asked me, you know, when I was 16, if I appreciated it, I'd probably tell you no way.
Probably not, yeah.
But I mean, now, you know, 27, 26, 27, something, I'm old. Now I really appreciate it. But I remember when my uncle actually started, you know, backing off, doing less stuff with me and focusing more on his own kids. Not to say that he was like, oh, well, they got a stepdad, I don't need to do anything now. He still did stuff with me and my brother. It was just less so. He went from being, you know, the dad figure to being the more of the actual cool uncle figure.
Yeah.
And while that, you know, really hurt at the beginning, like, looking back, I understand it. I know why he did it, and, I mean, I appreciate everything he already did for me, so, mm-hmm. I mean, he already did way more than was called to do.
You know, my significant, well, Jeffrey Farmer joined, he said, hey, guys, hello, Jeff, hope things are going okay with your dad. My wife says, sadly, a lot of teenage girls with absentee fathers try to fill the hole with the romantic attention of a young man, all right? So let's, for a moment here, pretend we're only talking to young people.
Okay.
Who may be struggling with this. Is my dog out there? If you hear a lapping sound, that's Jasper, our dog. He likes to try to lick his way through the glass. He's thinking he's going to get into the house, so he'll lick the glass unendingly. Trying to get through. Anyway, let's talk for a minute about the young people out there. What would you say to them who are, you know, if there are young girls looking for a guy to fill that hole, if there's a young man out there looking for somebody, an uncle, a grandpa, a neighbor, somebody to fill that, to keep them from going to the wrong place, what advice would you give them?
There's a lot of introspection that has to be done. You can't decide things about other people before you start to actually understand yourself. To sort of, you know, have an example, I used Simon, mm-hmm. the sorcerer, as an example. That's in Acts chapter 8, I believe. Let me go there real quick. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 8.
Yeah. Acts chapter 8.
Let's see. I lied. It's not Acts chapter 8. Where is it? Actually, it probably is Acts chapter 8. Hold on. I have it written down on my phone, so it's not written down. Yeah, Acts chapter 8.
Yeah.
Starting in verse 9.
Yeah.
I probably won't read verse 9 because I'm looking for something specific. In verse 10, it says that everyone was calling Simon great, from the smallest to the greatest, and they were giving him attention. To go in more detail from Wednesday night, that was essentially me.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that briefly, but didn't really go into that.
Yeah, I didn't go into much detail about that.
Because you did, when we had dinner, you did talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
But you didn't Wednesday, so.
A lot of times you'll see people from broken families, they'll have, you know, behavioral issues, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily anything mental. Whether it's, you know, acting out and being bad, or just acting out. I was more on the acting out kind of side. And that, even that has made me who I am today, because I'm a lot less inhibited by myself. Like, if you say, you know, yelling in the store is, you know, not socially acceptable, like, I don't really care. Like, I'm not inhibited by a lot of social norms, just because they don't embarrass me because I acted out. Granted, I act out a lot less now, but I acted out in a way that I thought I was being funny and I wanted the attention, but I didn't know why I wanted the attention.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand that about myself. I just knew I wanted the attention, and trying to be funny was one of those ways I could get it. And so I really identify with him here. We don't know much about Simon other than he was a sorcerer and did magic tricks. But, I mean, if he did come from a broken background, like, that's the way he got his attention. That's the way he filled in that void that he had. He wanted that attention because there was something missing, and he didn't understand why or what, but he knew he had to do something.
You know, there's this concept of not being worthy.
Yeah.
Okay? That we have to deal with, you know, why am I not good enough? Well, you know, what we all have to come to grips with is this concept that we are enough. Just by virtue of the fact that God created each one of us,
mm-hmm.
we are enough on our own. You know, we don't, and I know that's hard for people to really grasp.
Right.
Until they really get into the Bible, understand that God did create each one of us, and He does know each one of us personally, and He wants us in heaven. He's done everything He can to get us there. So that nothing that we do as people makes us worthy of anything. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, God was able to send his son for us, and that makes us worthy of his attention.
Right.
We've always had his love. He never didn't love his people.
Right.
There was a sin problem he had to deal with. Once you dealt with that, then he could take his love, and then we can have that relationship with him that he always wanted us to have, and that obviously he put in us to have. But how do we help young people understand they are enough as they are? They don't have to fill that hole with whatever they can find, that they're enough.
And that's a hard question.
That's a big question.
Yeah. I know for sure one of the things for me, like I never questioned, you know, not being worthy or am I enough? I never really had those questions because I had the scriptures.
Yeah.
Because like in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, you know, this is, you know, a big one that people turn to for, you know, against abortion, but this was a big one I turned for me. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nation. Granted, I'm not a prophet. But God is saying, not only to Jeremiah here, who he's calling to preach, but to all of us, he's saying that he knew us before we were even formed. We were already worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, we still sin, and we lose our worthiness.
Yeah. But we don't lose his love.
Right. We don't lose his love. Or his attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I've been going through the Old Testament again, and like children of Israel had his attention even when they, you know, messed up.
Very much.
And several times.
How many? I know I would have written them off long before God did.
And I mean, if it wasn't for Moses, God would have wiped them all out and started again with Moses.
Mm-hmm.
He said so three or four times.
Again, my wife added in Matthew 12 talks about God giving us the church for a family. So Jeremiah 12, 49 and 50, or not Jeremiah, Matthew 12, 49 and 50 says, and stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brother, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. And so we have a family that will become sometimes more important, or at least as important as our earthly families, because of relationships we form, because what we see people going through and how we see people standing, it's a different,
right?
It's a different relationship, but it's a family of itself. And I'm sure you found that in your church,
mm-hmm.
and we get Bible classes and forming friendships. And Bible, do you have any Bible class teachers or people like that that you got really close to, that you formed bonds with as you were growing up? Somebody you really respected, or somebody that you could really tie to?
For sure. He was an elder, and then he started having some health issues, but his name was Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And he was more, because I've always had my uncle, but for some reason, I don't know if it was like, I don't know, probably my brother's attitude. My brother didn't really have that same connection with my uncle as I did. But the guy at church, Joe Carter, I don't doubt anybody, I'm sure nobody on the stream knows him because he's in Florida, but
mm-hmm.
he was that person for my brother. He always taught the high school class, he was very knowledgeable, and I just loved him to death, mm-hmm. just love him. But he was definitely that person for my brother way more than he was for me. And really, it doesn't always have to be the congregation that you're at for the people.
Mm-hmm.
When you're with the people of God, they're your family. I know for sure, just last weekend I met up with a bunch of people that I went to school with. We all went to FC, and we all went to different congregations up there or down there in Florida. But I mean, like you were saying, they're just as close
mm-hmm.
as my earthly family is to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I'd do without them. They're probably part of the reason why, you know, when I was in college, I started being okay with my past and, you know, working myself through it already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to say I wasn't already working myself through it, but
yeah.
When I was ready for the next stage, it just so happened, you know, probably God intended it that way, whereas I just, you know, don't see it that way necessarily, because I was just like, oh, it just happened. But they were there when I was ready for that next step,
yeah.
for myself to grow. And, you know, I didn't even know I was ready for that yet.
Yeah.
But they were there for it, so.
Well, that's cool. So, I guess really, if people are out there, and if you, I mean, Theron's going to make a CD out of this, and he's going to send it out to people, and people will share this video. We had somebody like us from Georgia. You talk about maybe people would know somebody from Georgia liked our show from last week.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows?
Yeah.
It wasn't anybody I knew. I mean, it is somebody that saw it and liked it. So who, maybe we will. Somebody will hear this and knows him. But when we talk about that, and, you know, like I'm trying to help people put a burden down.
Right.
What Jesus said in Matthew 11, since we're right there already, in 28 and 30, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." The rest for anybody's soul is in Jesus.
Yeah.
Without that, there isn't any real rest. Without that, we have no answers to who am I, where am I, why am I here, what am I supposed to be doing? All those questions people are asking out there. Without God, there is no answer to those questions.
And I'd probably be in a lot worse of a state because I was raised with the Bible and I had all those answers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a ground to stand on to start figuring myself out and working mm-hmm. myself out. Whereas, like a lot of the kids you're talking about, they don't have that solid ground to stand on, and they're just floundering around. They don't know what to do.
So our advice is, if you don't have a Bible, contact me.
Get a Bible.
And I will get you one. All right? I'm serious. If you don't have one, you let me know through Facebook, and I will send you one.
Yeah, put it in a private message. Don't put
yeah. Just message me or call me, 812-620-4034. Also, I've got a couple messages on my phone, a little station break. I'm using my phone to do the program, so if you're texting me or something, it's chimed a couple of times. I'm not going to answer you, or I won't see it until after the show.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah, that's what that was, my phone being. So anyway, and my son silenced this, so I won't know if I'm getting any more messages or not. But I'm going to go back to Psalm 37. Tim Modlin, a very good friend of both of ours, showed me this verse. And it kind of goes along with Isaiah 26, which is one of my favorite. I will get to that one later. But Psalm 37, think about what people want, what people most intimately want for themselves. And this verse answers that, but we've got to learn to think like God for this verse to be true for us. Psalm 37 and verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." That verse is not promising material wealth. It is not promising big houses and good health and all that. What he's saying is, if you delight yourself in me, you're going to have everything you need. Now, that's is that a suggestion? Is that a maybe? Or is that a promise?
That's a promise, but there's also commitment that you have to make.
Yeah, and that's the part about delight yourself in the Lord.
Yeah.
So if you do that, if you will take time to try to do that, the desires of your heart are going to be filled.
Right.
And so what I almost every show recommend people do, if you question whether God is, I mean, let's boil Christianity down.
Okay.
Is there a God or isn't there? Okay.
Yeah.
So if you decide there is a God, is the Bible his word? Is it really his revealed word for us? So the only way to do that is look at your Bible and find, I dare you to find the contradiction. Everybody says, you know, you'll hear people say there are contradictions. I dare you to find one. I don't think you will, because I know you won't. Study history, study science, all those things. This book is written over the course of 1,500 years, 40 authors, 3 continents, 3 languages, no mistakes, okay? But you all out there have to figure that out. So is it his word? And if it is, do we have to follow what it says? And that's really, that boils Christianity, that's all Christian. If it is, then we got to do what he says. If it's not, then we don't. I challenge people to go do that. I did. I mean, I started studying the Bible as a skeptic. I wasn't eager to know. I'm like, okay, I'll do this, and then I'll, you know, I'll find a loophole, then I'll, well, 30 years later, here I sit talking about the Bible on Facebook Live and on the radio. So, so if that void is there, try it. I mean, what's it going to, at this point, what do they have to lose if they try?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you have to lose? Pick it up and try. So that, you know, another, you had mentioned that verse about how he knew you before you were formed. Mm-hmm. And Psalm Jeremiah 29 talks about, I know the plans I have for you. Let me go look at that real quick, because it's really a cool idea. Now, granted, he's not speaking directly to us here, but in a lot of ways he is. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's what God gives us.
Yeah.
A future and a hope. I talked about somebody last week in my sermon. I can't remember his name, but papers in their living room. He wrote the book, Why I'm Not a Christian. And somebody asked him at the end of his life, okay, what do you have to look forward to? What do you, and what the answer was, something close to dark, unrelenting despair, or something like that. That was his future and his hope.
Yeah, that's
unrelenting despair.
Bleak.
That's slightly bleak.
It's the tablet.
God doesn't provide that. Oh, here it is. Nothing but grim, unyielding despair. That's sad.
There.
So without God, whether you've got mom, dad, aunt, uncles, brothers, and cousins, and everybody, that's your future.
Yep.
That's everybody's future. With God, we have a hope. We have a peace. We have the desires of our heart, which is cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, so let's get back to you now. Sorry, okay. I digressed, sort of.
Nah.
But, you know, that's all part of this process. Helping.
It's about me, but
way.
At the same time, it's not about
It's
me.
Not about either one of us,
yeah.
And we know that. We're just trying to help people understand how important God's Word is in our lives, and that it can give us the tools. And, well, life's not what we think it ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
God says, hey, you know what? I'm here with you.
It's true.
And so that's why it's important that we learn to come to Him and do that. Anxiety. 1 Peter 5 talks about, oh, we'll get there in a minute. If you want to get your Bible, start going to 1 Peter 5. Deal with a lot of people with anxiety.
Right.
And stress in their lives. And anxiety comes from worry and doubt and fear and those sort of things and not knowing what to expect. I know a lot of my students that are what we call ODD, oppositional defiant disorder, have anxiety to go along with that because of inconsistencies in their life. They have anxiety because they don't know what to expect. They don't know what's coming next. They don't know. And so I'm sure if someone is out there and they feel like they're alone, and they feel like that people don't care, and they feel like they're not worthy, like they're going to have anxiety. They're going to have stress. Did you have feelings of doubt and kind of wondering, or you looked up anxiety?
Yeah, it reminded me, I guess, as a previous week, not last Sunday, because I this is kind of what I spoke about last Sunday,
mm-hmm.
last Wednesday. But the Wednesday before that, my brother-in-law, Seth, actually spoke about anxiety.
Yeah.
And he used, you know, the actual definition to sort of compare it to how we use the word anxiety and how, like, the actual meaning of it and how we kind of confuse the words worry and anxiety.
Yeah.
Anxiety is nervousness, unease, typical about an imminent event or to something with an uncertain outcome, the desire to do something, typically accompanied by unease. He actually had a much stronger definition.
Yeah, I can't remember what definition he used.
I wish I knew what the definition he used. Anyways, essentially, anxiety is something that we can't control and we have zero influence over.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas something we worry about, is generally something that we have at least a little bit of control that we can, you know, prevent something from happening or, you know, whatever. Like, if you're worried about money and you don't have a job, what's the answer? Well, you go get a job. You shouldn't be anxious about the money because you can do something about it. Whereas, you know, you have, you know, a decision is being made way higher up than you, and it's going to definitely affect you, your lifestyle, and your family. That's something to be even more anxious about because
you can't
do anything about it. You have to sit there and take whatever happens.
So was this situation we're talking about one of those situations? Can you change the fact that your dad made the decisions that he made?
No, but I can change my own attitude.
And that's the key to all of this. Is that's really when you boil right down to it, there's our actions and our attitudes is all we can control.
Correct.
And so with that, of course, again, you were raised with the Bible. You knew about God from the beginning. And I want to stress how important it is that if you don't know about God, that you find out who He is. And you examine that for yourselves. Don't listen to people say there is no God, that if there was a God, certain things wouldn't happen. That you know, you need to be asking those questions, but you need to go to the Bible for the answers. And so with anxiety, what 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 say are, it says, humble yourselves, which is hard, because we're, you know, as men, we're supposed to do things by ourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, okay? So that at the proper time, He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. And then verse 8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So the first thing I see in that outside of humble yourselves is we're not alone in anything that we're going through. Brethren all over the world are going through some of the same, you know, they may not be going through what I'm going through, some are going through what you're going through.
Right.
But there are people we can go to and say, how do you do this? What did you do? And that's why when we were having dinner the other night, you know, you said that Wednesday that you weren't going to do this till I kind of prodded you a little bit.
But, I mean, you didn't necessarily mean to, but no, you did.
Because people need to know there's somebody they can go to and say, hey, how do you do this?
Right.
What's the key for you? How do you do it? And if they don't know you've gone through it, they can't come to you for... Mm-hmm. There he is. He's looking away.
Yep.
They can't come to you because they don't know to.
Right.
And so it's important that, you know, we don't, you know, that we trust God and that, you know, when he's, you know, who has a family, as teamed in Matthew 12, the church family that comes together and we're supposed to be working together. And Ephesians talks about, a lot of places talk about each part working together. If we aren't part of that body, if we aren't part of that family, we don't know each other. And
right.
if we isolate ourselves because we feel like we're not worthy, nobody cares, whatever, then we can't take advantage of what God has given us. So if somebody's out there and they're isolated and alone, they can't. There's no way to get any of these benefits of knowing who God is.
Right.
And so that's just really interesting. So how did you feel anxiety or stress or worry or fear or anything? Do you remember? I mean, you may not even remember.
Probably not more than what anybody else feels. Mm-hmm. I guess they wouldn't think. And again, it's probably not the answer people who don't want God are looking for, but I had God, and that was why I didn't necessarily have any more than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I almost feel like I'm not giving good enough answers.
No.
But at the same time, like...
The answer is...
The answer is exactly what I said. Like, I had God.
Yeah.
And when we were talking about anxiety and whatnot, that just... I tended to go to Matthew chapter 5, I believe. That's where Jesus is talking about, you know, be anxious for nothing.
Yeah.
And I referenced it when I was talking on Wednesday night. Matthew chapter 5, verse somewhere. No, Matthew chapter 6. My bad.
All right.
Matthew chapter 6.
I forgive you.
Thank you. I reckon specifically the verse 30 when Jesus is talking about anxiety. Mm-hmm. He says, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? I turn to that a lot because kind of like, have you had Dale on the show yet?
No.
Oh, well. Dale's one of the elders at Galena, and he's very much into space, very much into the stars.
He's not spacey.
Yeah.
But he's...
Cosmically
minded.
And a lot of times when he's talking about that, he talks about, you know, God's majesty and his power in creation.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always turning to the stars for that example. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a nature-y kind of guy, and so
we're supposed to do a show about dinosaurs.
Correct.
At some point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm more of a nature-y kind of guy, and
me
so
too.
I always turn to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the earlier it talks about how the birds of the air, they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So the birds, the animals, all the wildlife, none of them worry about where they're getting their clothes, where they're getting their food, how to feed their young. They're not worried about that because God provides. Whereas we get worried about that for almost no reason because we do exactly what we need to do to provide.
Mm-hmm.
God has given us the ability, and a lot of times he gives us the connections and the jobs we need to provide. I would even argue that even the people that don't believe in him, he has his hand in making sure that they're okay.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Even...
Well, God makes it rain on the just and the unjust.
Exactly.
And, you know, on the flip side, you know, life happens to all of us. Time and chance happen to us all.
Yep.
And so it's not when things good and bad happen doesn't mean God's... Our specific circumstances right now...
Right.
...don't indicate our relationship with God.
Correct.
Life happens to all of us. Good and bad, different times. And so that's why people need what you just... You know, it's important that we understand who God is. And it may not be the answer people want...
But it's the answer I got.
But it's the answer.
Yeah.
It's the answer. Because who in this world is not going to at least eventually die? What person isn't going to do that? Well, there you go. Okay, so is that going to let you down? Yeah.
Yep.
Are people going to have? Are people going to trip and fall and say the wrong things at the wrong time sometimes?
Yep.
People are going to let you down. Are people going to say mean things? Sometimes, even when they don't intend to. Yeah?
Yep.
People are going... I don't care who they are. People are going to let you down.
Of course.
You know, I wish I could say I've never let my wife down. I could say that. But, well, that's a lie.
Yeah, me too.
And I, you know, that... But God never lets us down. God is always God.
Yeah.
He's always there. He's always solid. He's always the foundation. And that's what people are afraid to deal with. You know, yeah, you okay, so you're afraid? Okay, secretly get a Bible and start reading it. You don't have to tell anybody. Start looking around in nature. You know, if you're feeling like you're not worthy, look around the world and understand what you just said about the birds of the air. And look around at what God has created and given us so we know that He is.
Mm-hmm.
Start there. But start looking for Him. Because He wants you to. He wants to be your God. That's what the whole Bible's about. You know, once Adam and Eve lost the relationship, the rest of the Bible is God trying to regain relationship with His people He wanted all along.
Yeah.
That's what the whole Bible's about. So it's just begging people to take the time to get to know Him. Or at least dabble in it and see if it's worth investigating further. Which are going to hurt. I just can't think of anything. I mean, it's not going to hurt anything. So anyway, you and Emily.
Yep.
You got married. Is she in? Oh,
she's
looking there right there. She is. She's got. Is that a Culver's hat? It's got her Culver's hat on. What relationship wise with her? Has the lack of your dad, anything, has that caused any issues with you as a husband trying to be what you're supposed to be? For me, when I first became a Christian, I didn't know anything about this head of the household thing and all right. that, didn't have all that background. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not putting anybody down for that, just didn't have it. Did you have that so that you could step into that and kind of begin that process of being that person? Did not having your dad hinder you in that?
No. There's something I learned, I think probably in a psychology class mm-hmm. in college.
Oh, you learned that, something in college?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm sure it has some sort of name, but essentially...
Some psychological term.
But no matter what, you're going to learn from your parents, whether they're there or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you're either going to do what they did and follow their path, or by their influence, do what they didn't do
mm-hmm.
and follow a different path.
Okay.
And so when I kind of realized that, I was like, okay, well, how did I grow up? What paths am I going to take? What paths am I not going to take? One of those paths I'm not going to take is called milk, which is what my mom does. So that's a different path I've taken, just for a funny example. But again, as a serious example, my dad, who was not there, drives me to want to be there.
Yeah.
When I finally have kids, I'm going to want to be there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to,
I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun.
I'm not there yet, but...
Yeah.
As long as they're not like Evan, right?
Change every diaper. No, we need more kids like Evan.
Probably.
I ride it like a horse, but he's a good boy. Change every diaper, give all the baths, do everything you can. Because it's still, when you get done, it's not enough. You still feel like you didn't do anything.
Are you sure about the diapers?
Yes, I'm positive.
All right.
You want to get, Simon Harris does not like to talk about poppy seeds. You want to get those things under your fingernails when you change those diapers. When they
poppy
eat those
seeds?
Lemon poppy seed muffins.
Put poppy seeds
yeah,
under your
Simon finger. Will understand. Check with Simon Harris for context on that.
Okay.
But just get in there and do what you got to do. That's cool that your example is driving you to flip and do just the opposite.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And there's tons of other stories that are like that. Like, and who's that? The brain surgeon? Ben Carson. I remember his name. Ben Carson.
Oh, yeah. Ben Carson's cool.
If you read about Ben Carson and his story, he has a lot of, faith-based upbringing that
mm-hmm.
his mom, a single mom,
yeah.
brought him and his brother up in. Now he's a, world-famous neurosurgeon. I don't know. Kind of have to be living on a rock not to at least heard Ben Carson. He ran for, presidency
yeah.
when Donald Trump ran, who was one of the Republican candidates. But you read his story. He grew up in a similar situation, no dad, just his mom. And his mom raised him upright, raised him in the faith, and he turned out really well. His example of his dad, not being there. I mean, it's been a while since I've looked at his book, so I don't want to speak
well,
out of turn or anything.
He talks
but,
about it.
Yeah, he talks about it. His dad not being there, again, that branching path, he, instead of, following that path his dad took,
mm-hmm.
he took the opposite path.
Yeah. I want to go to Ephesians 4, but just because it's, again, I've got lots of notes in Ephesians, but several times in Ephesians 4 and 5, God talks about walking a certain way. Well, in Ephesians 4, verse 17, it's like, he says, don't walk this way. It's like, have you ever seen anybody teach a kid how to walk and say, this is not how you do it?
I mean, I do as a joke. But.
Yeah. But what he says here is cool because if there's somebody out there that doesn't have God, this is what they're doing.
Right.
This is what they are doing. It says now in Ephesians 4:17, now this I say, wait a minute. Economists talks about that a lot. Is that supposed to be Ecclesiastes? Evan Mitchell.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
It.
Yeah, well, it can't. It's okay.
I talk about him dying a lot.
Yeah. That's strange that his phone self-corrected to Economist instead of Ecclesiastes.
I can't.
You need
That's
to,
cool.
You need now, to fix your autocorrect.
So chapter 4, verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Now listen to what it says here. If they're floundering, if people are floundering around, this is why.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In the futility of their minds, Okay, what you're thinking is futile. Why? Well, they are darkened in their understanding. And what does that cause? They're alienated from the life of God. Why? Because of the ignorance that is in them. Why is it there? Due to their hardness of heart, okay, which has caused them to become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard of him and were taught in him. Okay, so if you haven't heard of him and taught in him, that's how I was walking, with or without what we physically needed in this world. That's how we're walking. That's how important it is to know who God is. Because without him, it's all futile. What is it that, on Star Trek, you know, the Borg would say, resistance is futile. But Solomon said, what's the whole duty of man?
Fear God, keep his commandments.
Fear God, keep his commandments. He walked in the futility of the world, and that was the conclusion he came to.
I wasn't sure if you wanted me to answer it.
Oh, no, it's a good answer. I'm glad, yeah. But that's the answer, whether we, like you said, whether that's the answer we're looking for or not, that's the real answer to
right.
these questions for anybody struggling.
Even people that grew up with, you know, both parents in a, you know, mm-hmm. solid household, you know, they don't have God. You know, they get to my age, your age, mm-hmm. they fill everything up with, you know, anything they can, alcohol, drugs.
Yeah. Do you think this, all this we've talked about, would fit somebody whose spouse has cheated on them and they feel unworthy?
Oh, absolutely.
Or if a boss has maybe not treated them right, and there may be somebody, maybe stole a business or did something or stole money, and they feel completely, stabbed in the back. Would this apply to them?
I mean,
would God fill the holes?
He absolutely would.
You know, so whatever the problem is, the answer is right here.
Yeah.
Whether we understand it or not, it's here.
When you have your problems going on and you don't have God, looking at this being the answer, I mean, seems foolish. Seems mm-hmm. silly.
Futile in thinking.
Yes. Trying to think of a verse that says, well, I'm not gonna think.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Anyways, they're gonna look at this situation and be like, well, sure, he got over it, but like, that's not for me. When that's their pride getting in the way, that's their mm-hmm. futility of mind getting in the way. If you're willing to humble yourself and take a look at it, you'll find, you know, similar stories mm-hmm. right in here. I mean, I pulled up Simon the Sorcerer to echo my story a little bit. Whether you have someone who cheated on you, you know, there's David and Bathsheba.
A lot of examples of that in here.
Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of examples.
Yeah. Back to, you know, Ephesians 5:15, after talking about in 5:1, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. He talks, still talk about how we ought to conduct ourselves. In verse 15, he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. I guess what I want to add, if you're dwelling, if you're spending your time dwelling on what people have done or how you've been abandoned or how you've been shafted or how you've been stabbed in the back or how you've been whatever, is that really the best use of your time?
No.
Is that really how you want to spend your time?
If you're wasting your time with that, you ought to flip it around. And even if you don't have God, you ought to flip it around and do some introspective thinkings about yourself, about and understanding yourself and essentially why you made those decisions, why you feel that way, instead of mm-hmm. just feeling that way and being mad at everything else. Whereas you did nothing wrong, you need to look at yourself and understand yourself. I'm saying yourself a lot, but
you
need to understand yourself, because when you do, you can look at your actions and realize why you've done them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you realize why you've done them, you're like, well, I was just, you know, looking for attention. I was just, you know, looking for fun. I was, you know, being selfish. Where, and that's what made me mad, because they did something that was also selfish, and it was contrary to my selfishness. Mm-hmm. But again, when you have God as that ground, that solid rock, mm-hmm. and you realize, well, I was being foolish, and yes, they did something that was also foolish, and that's what made me mad, mm-hmm. but I was foolish.
Yeah.
And I need to work on that. Where, you know, remove this the log from your own eye before you try to get someone's speck.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, you know, believe it or not, we've been going an hour.
Sheesh.
It's a fast hour, isn't it?
My wife told me not to say sheesh. But
well, you did.
I did. Well, I've done it three
times.
You've
got to
work
on that. So if I was to give you, and I just did, I'm going to give you the closing.
Oh, the closing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you want? We talked about letting the name of the show is Let the Bible Speak.
Right.
And you know, we talk about that a lot. Either the answers are here for whatever you need, for how plan for God, how you get to heaven, how you get in the church, what the church is, how to stay in the church. I think all of it's here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. For every answer and for every problem you're having, the answer is here. Let the Bible speak. That's the easy thing to say, but what do you want to say to somebody out there maybe struggling with any of these things we've talked about? What advice would you give them?
You can't give up. I ended my talk on Wednesday with 2 Timothy 2:15. I'll read that real quick. It says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." Essentially, you need to be handling God's word well enough that you understand it and that other people can see it. And that's essentially how I tried to live my life, and that's how I got over everything. Is I had the Word of God, and I learned, and I studied, and I tried to accurately handle it, and for sure I don't always do that. I'm not perfect, never will be,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean I can't strive to be that.
Yeah.
It's a walk, and you got to keep going until you're done.
Well, thanks for being on here.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it very much. We'll get that dinosaur show in sometime soon. By the way, My wife put a verse on here, Romans 8:13-17, talks about how we're adopted by God. That's through becoming Christians, mm-hmm. that he adopts us all, owns us all. That's important to remember as well. But thank you for, I really
You're
appreciate
welcome.
Your courage and your ability and your willingness to talk about these things. Maybe we can spur somebody else to talk about them and help
yeah.
you get through some things. Because that's really the point. If we don't stir people to do something, we're kind of wasting our time. So.
Just to, I guess, not necessarily to clarify, but I talked about my uncle a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of left my mom out. My mom was a big example for me. And Timothy is one of the people that I really identified with in the Bible
yeah.
as well. Because all Timothy had was his mom and his grandmother.
Yeah.
And I think my mom did everything right.
That's cool.
She did everything right. Maybe she made a mistake, but she owned her mistake. She did everything right, and I mean, I'm sure I haven't told her before. Maybe she'll watch this, maybe she won't. But I really appreciated what she did for me, and I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for her.
Very good. Program still Let the Bible Speak. I don't know. We'll try to get back on radio at some point and do normal things so people have. But we may end up doing something kind of more whenever people can meet.
Yeah.
Make it easier. Appreciate everybody that joined, Christine and Jeff and Emily and Shannon and Tina and who knows who's going to watch this.
And Evan.
And Evan for his technical support. Appreciate it. Guys, I'm telling you, I'd be, again, lost ball in tall weeds without knowing these things. I just want people to know what we know. I know that's what your motive is.
Yep.
That's whatever, you know, we just want people to know what we know about God. And I'm still learning. I've got a long way to go. So again, thanks for joining me. We'll do it again soon. And God bless everybody. And remember, just let the Bible speak.